Welcome to episode 504 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy and George. As I was watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I could not help but notice the gorgeous landscapes that Peter Jackson flawlessly portrayed on the screen. Yes, I just outed myself as a closet nerd. But you have to admit that the scenery was pretty amazing. If you ever dreamed of seeing these beautiful landscapes, then you want a planned trip to New Zealand. I know I do personally, and so does most of my family. Tonight, we're going to talk to Jeff Adam with Travel Answers to help clue us into all things New Zealand. Jeff Adam is a proud Aussie who hails from Adelaide, South Australia, and moved to the United States 25 years ago to promote Australia and New Zealand. His forte is in assisting travel advisors to create tailor-made itineraries that deliver on the promise of a quintessential Australia and New Zealand experience. He has created both Australia and New Zealand travel planners, along with virtual vacation Vimeos, to help put the fun back into the planning of your next vacation down under. So let's get started. Welcome again, Jeff.
Yeah, nice to be back. Thank you very much. And I got to say, it's funny. Let's just go back to your comment there about Lord of the Rings. I was down there. I had never seen any of the movies. I'll put my hand up. I know. Shock horror. I never saw Lord of the Rings. I didn't see The Hobbit. Anyway, my job requires me, of course, to know the tourism product down there. They said, well, Jeff, there's a place called Hobbiton. You've got to go and see. So I dropped into Hobbiton, and I was instantly taken aback by how amazing this whole set was. I mean, Peter Jackson has designed this set whereby you can be standing within the township of Hobbiton and you will not see off in the distance anything of this world. So you are completely kind of, you feel like you're in another world. And it is done.
You're in the Lord of the Rings.
You are in the Hobbit trilogy. I mean, it was just so amazing. They had to drag me out of there. I basically went from there. I drove to Auckland Airport. I flew home. And my poor suffering wife, that next weekend, we watched the trilogy of The Hobbit and the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings in one weekend. I've never eaten so much corn in my whole life. But I was just amazed. And I don't now, when I go to New Zealand, I'm like, you know, you, Donna, you were mentioning how the incredible scenery. I'm now, oh, I know that. I've seen that before. And I've seen it in the bloody movie.
That's that scene.
Yeah, exactly. It is. No, and then let's just talk a bit broadly about New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand is the youngest country in the world. And what does that mean, the youngest? It's the last place settled by human beings. Now, and those human beings were Maoris. Now, Maoris arrived about 1250 AD, and then they were followed by the English and Scottish settlers who arrived around the 1700s. Now, initially, the Maoris and the English, the Scottish, they had a bit of argy-bargy, a little bit of friction, but they sat down and signed a treaty of coexistence. And that treaty of coexistence means that, you know, when you go to school, kids go to school in New Zealand, they learn Maori lore and legend as well as English lore and legend. At a very young age, they're immersed into the local fabric of the culture, and it's made for a more unified society. So when I say it's the youngest country in the world, it's also one of those countries that's really settled itself early. It doesn't have the history of what's going on in the Middle East. It never had any major wars or whatever. I mean, it has fought in wars in support of the British and whatever. But it's kind of this lovely little haven of just beautiful people that get on and just embrace this lovely environment. It's pristine, beautiful, unspoiled. It's just fabulous. New Zealand's great. The scenery is amazing, absolutely amazing. It does make for the perfect movie set, that's for sure.
Oh, fantastic. So where exactly is it located? Well, some people don't know.
Yeah, well, being in the southern hemisphere, it's a good 11-hour flight from Los Angeles going, and it's sitting slightly below Australia. So as a flight, it's, you know, you've got a number of airlines, of course, which will actually give access. Air New Zealand being one. There's also Qantas. You can also fly with United. There's some great lift will get you down there. There's also something a lot of people, couple. I know, Donna, you're thinking about doing, planning, a bit of a trip down to Australia and New Zealand. Some people include Australia and New Zealand on the same itinerary. It just depends on how much time they've got, because New Zealand really is a destination in its own right. You could spend a couple of weeks down in New Zealand and still not see everything. But
That's true of anywhere you go.
It's true. You can basically, depending on what people want to tackle, it's blessed with some amazing food and wine, and it's home to the, really, when you think about Sauvignon Blanc, you wouldn't go into a wine store in the USA, and the Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand typically dominates that particular shelf. When you think of adventure, the Kiwis have got a whole array of adventurous activities, from hiking and biking and cycling and bungee jumping. The Kiwis invented the bungee jump, the idea of putting a rubber band around your ankles and jumping off a perfectly good bridge.
So they're a little nuts.
They're a bit crazy, yeah. They invented the jet boat. The jet boat was invented by a farmer by the name of Hamilton. Imagine his poor, suffering wife. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just putting a jet motor in a boat. And these things, they displace like 5 inches of water. And they're the only boat that can go up rivers. They've gone up the Ganges. They've gone up the Colorado River. And of course, now jet boats are used everywhere in the world. But they came from New Zealand. It was a Kiwi farmer that invented the jet boat.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So if we want to visit.
I have a question. Why do we call them Kiwis?
Kiwis is after the native bird, the Kiwi bird. Now, that's another fascinating fact about New Zealand. Before humans arrived, New Zealand didn't have any animals. Just birds. There are only two countries, there are only two islands in the world where that happened. One was with New Zealand, the other was New Caledonia. Just so happens they're on the same tectonic plate, but I can promise you they're not close at all. New Caledonia is well away from New Zealand. But, yes, they never had any animals. It was obviously early settlers brought in wildlife, so the birds there, they're quite weird and wonderful. You've got the Kiwi bird, which is New Zealand's national bird of pride. It lays an egg one-third the size of its own body. Think about that for a second.
Poor thing.
you've got your tears coming out of your eyes right now thinking about that. Yes, worse than a watermelon, ladies, worse than a watermelon. It's a flightless, almost blind bird, but it's their national bird of pride. So it also is the bird, its name, they call themselves Kiwis. That's the name they give the local folk.
Nice.
So if we're planning a trip to New Zealand, what would be a really good time frame for us to how long do we need to be there?
Well, I say that the 2 weeks is not enough, but 2 weeks is, let's just work on 2 weeks, because that's pretty much what most people have got. And it's more about what you've got, not so much about where, because New Zealand, honestly, you could spend a lot more time, especially if you're into hiking and getting out to explore. Just starting off at Auckland. Auckland's the largest city. It's a population of about 1.5 million people. The whole of New Zealand is about 5 million people. And Auckland's the city that you'll fly into. It's actually blessed with two beautiful harbours. It's home to the America's Cup. They're going to rename it to the New Zealand Cup. They keep winning it. The Kiwis are pound for pound the strongest sailors in the world. Think about that. A country with only 5 million people, and yet when it comes to sailing, they're hard to beat. I've been involved in looking after some of the America's Cup challenges that have taken over the last 25 years, and even in the competitors' boats, there's always going to be Kiwi sailors. In fact, the only way the Swiss won is because they bought an entire New Zealand crew. That's how good the Kiwis are at sailing. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, it comes back to this whole, it's the New Zealanders just know how to get stuff done. They work together as a team. The most winningest sporting team in the world, if winningest is a word.
I'll give you that one.
The All Blacks, the New Zealand All Blacks. Have you heard about the All Blacks? That's their rugby team.
I have heard of them,
And that rugby team is so highly regarded that American football teams actually take upon some of the guidance that has been given by this team in terms of how they managed to create such a unified team and such a winning mentality. That's just very good. Kiwis get things done. They just know how to get things done. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact.
So what else can we do in Auckland besides watch the America's Cup?
So America's Cup, well, you're sailing, and also, and I mentioned All Blacks. There's a wonderful All Black actual, you can visit and learn a bit about the All Blacks. Where you sit there, you've got Waiheke Island, which is a little island just off of Auckland. It's a little, you can go across there in about 20 minutes you're across, and there's some fabulous wines you can go savouring. You can do some great tours out of here from there using it as a base. You can go out four-wheel driving and going to black sand beaches and some ancient rainforests, and all within a short walk. You can do a wonderful walking tour around Auckland. I love the walking tours because it gives you a chance to savour some of the local food, and that's always a real treat. But and from there, from Auckland, you'll either go north from Auckland. You can do a tour going all the way up to Cape Reinga on the North Island. And there's some great if you're into getting in and go swimming with dolphins, and there's a place you can go bus surfing. You can actually go on a beach, 90-mile beach, which takes you all the way up to Cape Reinga. But you can go on there's a hole-in-the-rock cruise you can do. So there's lots of adventurous activities you can do just from Auckland going north. Going south, that takes you on a journey down through to Rotorua, and there's also, that takes also in an area where you can go on underground caves. There's a great spot to take in some amazing stalactites and stalagmites and glowworm caves that can be found. You go on these little tin boats on underground streams. You look up and it looks like the stars at night. It's actually the glowworms that hang from the roof of the cave. That's a Waitomo cave. It's quite amazing.
So Auckland is a great, like, almost base destination that you can kind of take day trips from.
You can. And then it gets to a point where then you need to kind of basically look at staying overnight. And that's going out as far, if you're going out to the Coromandel Valley, the Coromandel Peninsula, rather, it's a fabulous area. You've got these incredible spot to go kayaking through Cathedral Cove. It's just a gorgeous spot. There's a place called Hot Water Beach, where after a day of hiking, you go to Hot Water Beach. There'll be a shovel in the sand. You just walk up and dig holes in the sand on the beach, and you'll create these little spars, and hot water permeates up through the actual sand. So you've got this cold ocean coming in, and you're sitting in this your own little bath of hot water as the sun's setting. Yeah, it's very cool. But you won't get there on a normal itinerary if you're only there for a couple of weeks. You're going to need time to get out there to meander around. You need time to kind of explore. And that's like going into a place like Rotorua. Rotorua is an area which is one of the oldest tourism areas in the world. Back in the early 1800s, British were going out on vacations on sailing boats. It would take like 6 months to get there because they believed in the therapeutic and the healing nature of water back then. That's why they used to look for the eternal spring of life. You remember those early movies? Mm-hmm. New Zealand was where they thought it was, because there's incredible terraced, there's a lot of geothermal activity, boiling mud and geysers. It's here you come face to face with Maori culture. And there's, there's, from there you can do jet boating, you can go whitewater rafting, you can go zip lining, you can go zorbing. That's another thing the Kiwis invented, zorb. It's like this big round ball. You'll hop inside and you're like a hamster. You'll roll down the side of a hill. It's like this giant zorb,
No. I think we'll skip that one.
Maybe I'll hang out at the bottom and drink some wine and
watch the people.
Wait for my friends to be done.
It's a fun family thing to do. So it just depends on who's traveling. So
that's true. I'll throw my kids in the ball and hurl themselves down the hill.
You've got wine at the bottom. That's perfect.
So one of the other big cities is Christchurch.
Right, on the South Island. So just finishing off the North Island, there's also, if you're into food and wine, there's the wine capital. I mentioned there's 12 wine capitals around the globe. Mm-hmm. And now South Australia is in Australia, Adelaide is there. In New Zealand, it's a place called Napier and Hawke's Bay, the Hawke's Bay wine region. It's an amazing area for some fabulous wine. And there's also to get there from Rotorua. This is where getting a car is important, because you can drive. The best way to see this is to drive, do a self drive. You can organise guides, and we can fly you between places. You can do hub and spoke, but to do a drive through here, going to Lake Taupo, and then trout fishing there. Some of the biggest brown and rainbow trout in the world are found here, and there's pure strain trout, just amazing. And then the wine region around Hawke's Bay is delightful, taking you all the way down to the capital, which is Wellington. And Wellington's home to Papapa Museum, a fabulous museum, a great spot for some Lord of the Rings fans, because it's here you'll be able to meet up with some of Peter Jackson's crew that actually set up a lot of the actual art, and you'll actually be able to learn a bit more about the work that went into the movies. And it's here you can go out at night. There's a nocturnal zoo that you can actually go out and see some of the bird life, because a lot of the bird life is nocturnal, so you won't see it. When you head to the South Island, you go via – there's actually a strait between the North Island and the South Island. There's the inter-island ferry you can take between the two. That will take to Picton on the northern part of the South Island. Now, while you're up in the northern part, that's where you've got this area here. 70% of the coastline of New Zealand is found just in that northeast corner of the North Island of the South Island of New Zealand. That northern part of the South Island, around Picton, going around to Nelson, around to Abel Tasman National Park. There's all these bays and coves. It's also home to mussel, green-lipped mussel. It's also home to 70% to 80% of New Zealand's Sauvignon Blanc is actually from that one region. So it makes me salivate just thinking about it, but it is an amazing spot.
Well, Sandy will love that. She loves mussels and wine. Oh, my goodness.
Oysters too, yeah.
Oh, Sandy, honestly, really? you can speak my language here.
It's
nice. I love it. So amazing. And going down the coast there, if you're into seafood, there's a place called Kaikoura. And Kaikoura is a great spot to go whale watching. But there's a place there called Nin's Bins. Now, it's just a caravan on the side of the road called Nin's Bins. And what happens early in the morning, in darkness, they go snorkeling and diving, and they catch all this crayfish, and they boil it up. And so you get some of the freshest seafood there. It's just honestly amazing. It makes, again, for people who like seafood, you'll have taken some of that Sauvignon Blanc with you that you picked up, and you'll have gone down from there, and you'll be honestly, you can. As they also do white bait there, and what they do is the white bait's a small fish, and they batter it up, and it's just amazing. You can squeeze lemon over it, and it's just fabulous. Eat them whole, just great.
He's making me hungry.
I know. I'm like, we gotta go do this.
Christchurch is the largest city on the South Island. It's about just under 200,000 people. It's the most English city outside of England. You've got this lovely little tram car that kind of meanders through, gorgeous gardens, and it's here you can go out and see the smallest dolphin in the world called the Hector dolphin. They're like cute little dolphins, like you feel like you can take one home. They're only just a hand-sized dolphin. It's also here that you can head out and you can again, there's wine and food all laid in and around Christchurch. It's from Christchurch, though, that one of the top 10 rail journeys in the world happens. You can do a train journey from here, called the Transalpine Rail. It will take you across the Great Southern Alps. Now, the Great Southern Alps, they run down basically the western side of that South Island, a seemingly impenetrable barrier. Well, the rails manage to find a way through, and you can take that train journey across to a town called Greymouth. And it's in Greymouth where you'll pick up a rental car and you'll basically drive, you know, down that coastline. You'll stop at there's Franz Josef Glacier and the Fox Glacier, and there's amazing hiking and walking through there. There's a little town called Hokitika where they actually produce jade, and the Maori, they carve this jade, and you can basically, you have a chance to kind of experience pick up some local Maori jade. So, and that takes you all the way down to Queenstown, and Queenstown is just heaven on earth. It's just one of those places. Every time I go to Queenstown, I look at the property prices to see if I can buy a place. Queenstown is just beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
It's on the banks. Is it affordable to buy there?
Well, your US, let me tell you, after last America's Cup, a lot of Americans actually went and bought down there, that's for sure. You know, your US dollar is very strong against the New Zealand dollar. It is seemingly affordable compared to what's up here, I suppose. Yeah.
Nice.
But Queenstown's just beautiful. It's on the banks of Lake Wakatipu. It's from Queenstown. Queenstown's quite the adventure little city too. It's where you can go jet boating on the Dart River. You can go funyaking on the Dart River, the Dart River is this beautiful river. The scenery is 360 degrees. It's just surrounded by absolute visual splendor. And you're on this boat that's zipping around, or funyaking. It's quite a gentle way to see it. You can also do some great hiking through here. Abel Tasman North, I mentioned, is a national park. There's also down this area, you've got Fiordland National Park. And the Fiordland National Park is a great spot to go hiking as well. And the Fiordland itself is just a phenomenal spot to go see the incredible fjords that you actually go out by road. There's a tunnel that you'll pass through, and as you punch through that tunnel on the other side, all of a sudden this amazing fjords open up. It's just gobsmackingly beautiful.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty impressive. Actually, fantastic.
So we've hit a couple of we still got like I think two places left. So
Dunedin. Dunedin. That's
See, I told you I'd messed this one up.
That's all right. Now that's kind of the most Scottish town outside of Scotland. With a piping of the haggis and weed dram of scotch is not a bad way to finish the day, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a lovely little town. It's home to a Lanark Castle. It's the castle that was brought across and built. It's the only castle of all of New Zealand, and it's quite. You can actually stay there in the castle. It's also home to the great little tour. You can do a tour where you'll see yellow-eyed penguin, albatross, the largest ocean-going bird. And also a New Zealand fur seal. There's a great little tour you can do there. All these little towns we speak of too have got great little personalities. They've got their own little bakeries, and they've got their own little pubs and bars. And they're the sort of places, again, New Zealand's a place where if you show interest in the locals, they just want to embrace you. They want to bring you in. When you put together a great itinerary for New Zealand, again, you don't have to do the whole driving thing. You can bring it together by rail. You can use flight to bring it together. You can also use local drivers that will kind of drive you around and show you the sights. Kiwis are very proud. New Zealanders are very proud, and they love to show you a good time. We've kind of, in this journey we've done so far, we've gone to Dunedin, which is on that eastern side of the South Island, close to the bottom. And at the very bottom, you've got another island called Stewart Island, which is unique in the fact that they've managed to keep a lot of the predators. I mentioned that when man arrived, they brought animals with them. Well, Stewart Island, they've managed to keep away these predators, and therefore the bird life over there is quite, quite amusing. And you kind of, there's weka that will kind of walk up and look at you, and the birds, they just don't even kind of take on human. There's some amazing birds. There's a kea, which is a mountain parrot, and the kea has developed a fetish for rubber. They'll fly down to your car, they'll pull the rubber off your windscreen wipers, off your door jams.
Oh, no.
They'll jack up your car and try and nick your tyres. No, that's true. That's not true. I lied about that. But they're characters. They're real characters. And I think that's what you get on a good New Zealand vacation with a well-planned itinerary is the true character that is offered in New Zealand. And there's places like you'll go through country towns where there'll be honesty boxes on the side of the road. And there won't be anybody there. There'll be like, if in the township itself, you might have outside a store, they'll have all these bakeries, pastries and whatever. And it's quite amazing. You'll have nobody there. There'll be a jar. You can just pick what you want and you leave the money in the jar. And nobody's there administering it. And I think what's the first thing you get in friendship? It's trust. That's what the Kiwis give you. You can go and play golf in some little township and there'll be a little envelope and say, put your money in there. You put your 20 New Zealand dollars in their envelope, that's like shells, the amount of that kind of, next to nothing in coin. And they'll go and play, put your name on there, and you go, nobody will come and check. Nobody will check. It's not like they'll, what was your name? Where's your ticket? No, it's just trust. That's a lovely thing, I think, about New Zealand. It's so far away. It's not caught up with all the hassles and all the things that bog down our modern world. They're focused on enjoying, embracing life, making the most out of it. And people who go to New Zealand say it truly is a life-changing experience. It's very much that.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. People I know that have been there.
That's cool. And let's talk, I think one of the big areas that we got left is the West Coast.
Well, the West Coast, when you went across to Greymouth, the West Coast was from Greymouth going past, I mentioned Pokitika, and then going down to Franz Josef and Fox Glacier. That's the west coast of
that. That is the west coast. Okay.
Yeah, and so, but you can go, no, but by bringing it up, I mean, going north from there, you know, there's some, that kind of connects you all the way through. So you can do it. Depends, again, it depends how much time you've got. Mm-hmm. That, like, if you look at a 2-week itinerary, it's not that long. I mean, it's 13 nights. Let's talk in terms of nights. If we look at our map of New Zealand and we do 3 nights in Auckland, we do, say, 3 nights in Rotorua. If we into wine, we want to go to Hawke's Bay, you want to spend a couple of nights there. Well, there's 8 nights gone already and you've only got 13 nights. We haven't even touched the South Island yet. So when I talk about 2 weeks, again, it will come down to, it'll be what interests your clients, what you're into, and then we'll customize it and we'll make it happen. We can make it happen. But
so what you're saying is instead of splitting between Australia and New Zealand, I need a month for New Zealand and a month for Australia really
that's
take it all in.
That's the truth. That's the truth. You know why people say they enjoyed – some people will come away and they say, you know, oh, I really liked New Zealand better than Australia. And the reason why is because they give Australia a lick. They spend 3 nights in Sydney. They do a night in the outback. They do 3 nights in Cairns. They do 3 nights in Melbourne. Well, that's hardly doing it, really, because there's so much to see in those areas. I mean, the drive between Sydney and Brisbane or Sydney and Melbourne is just fabulous. Going into the outback, you know, getting into country towns where the, you know, g'day mate, how you going? You know, people are talking a little slower, you know, easy going. It just really depends how much time you've got. New Zealand is much the same. You know, when people do cruises, they go to do a cruise in New Zealand, think about this. 2,000 people on a cruise vessel going to a town with less than 1,000 people. I mean, it's kind of like New Zealand's a place you want to just, cruising, if people can cruise and that's how they want to see it, that's fine. But honestly, you need to be doing it. You need to get out and explore and do a little customized experience. And that's why that checklist we put together, I think, is a really good start for them, because it helps us better understand what interests them. And then from that, we can then make some great suggestions that will really deliver on the promise of, you know, New Zealand's got some great bed and breakfasts. They've got some great luxury lodges. The accommodations themselves are just gobsmackingly beautiful. And to be in there for a night is not to do justice to that experience.
That's the idea. If I wanted to, like, do a driving, like, self-driving tour of New Zealand as an American, is it easy? Do they drive on the same side of the road? I mean, what are the logistics of that?
Left is right and right is wrong.
Okay.
and is it easy? Yes, it's easy. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You're sitting on the wrong side of the car. It seems to make a lot of sense.
Right.
It does.
Helps you remember.
And all you do is all you need to say to yourself every time you get in the car, left is right is wrong. And then when you're on the right side, when you're on the right side of the road, which is the wrong side, so I'm making it sound complicated, but it's really quite easy. It's very easy. But if there's people who don't want to drive, that's fine. They don't have to drive. For example, between Auckland and Rotorua, there's a tour that will take you via the Waitomo Caves. And it will take you on to Hobbiton and then on to Rotorua. So you can basically tick those boxes on the way through. But you'll be with a little group, or you can do it private. You can do private touring and have a guide look after you. And then you can fly from there down to Christchurch, and you can do some tours from Christchurch to go and see the Hector Dolphin. And then you can hop on the train that will take you across to Greymouth, and then you can do a tour down there from there to Queenstown. So
the train sounds like my kind of speed.
Right. Yeah, the train's good. The train's really good. It's got a glass roof as well, so you can really take in that view and vista.
So doing the planner and watching your video to explain all these wonderful places to see, and then how do you organize an itinerary?
Well, basically, we'll be working with you. I mean, they'll come back to you with their planner ticked. All we need is probably their top 10 things they want to see and do. And then knowing that they've only got a limited amount of time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, or 1 week, if it's 1 week, you know, then we will make suggestions that will make sure we hit on their must-see things. So yeah, everybody's got a must-see thing. Everybody's got something. If it's the Lord of the Rings that they must see, then we'll make sure we build it around that. But then there's other things we know they're going to want to tick as well, and we'll make suggestions. I mean, the thing about, the glowworms, for example, there's glowworms on the North Island, there's glowworms on the South Island. So if they don't see it at the North Island, we'll make sure it happens on the South Island, if that's something I wanted to see. We can there's lots of places to go wine tasting. You don't want to be wine tasting every day, but they might say,
yes, you do. You want to be wine tasting every day.
Donna wants to be wine tasting.
I hear you, Donna. I hear you. I'm with you too. And I know Sandy's right there as well. But I think it's just all about providing a balanced itinerary. You know what I say with these planners too? Like if a family's going, or if it's, in other words, it's a little family going, is give everybody the planner. And get them all to watch the little video, and then say you've all got two of your, what are your two favourites? And they pick out the two favourites, and then we pull it together. We say right, okay, and then we work out from there. And because with a family travels too, you all want to feel like you've had a say in the experience. In your family, Donna, you've got some hiking going on, and you've got some. You're a diver. There's a place there's a place to go diving in New Zealand. It's called the Poor Knights, and it's on the North Island, and it's a great spot to dive with manta ray, and it's just amazing. Cold water diving, you're going to wear a real fit wet suit.
Oh, no. We would not be doing that. we only dive where it's really warm.
I got you. Okay, yeah, we're leaving the scene.
We are a fair weather diver.
You've got some in your family into hiking, somebody else is into Lord of the Rings. We'll make sure we can do both of those things, and everybody walk away feeling very happy about it.
Fantastic. Anything you would like to add, Jeff?
No, I just don't worry. I mean, ultimately, don't leave these destinations for too long. If you're thinking, if you've got an interest in traveling to New Zealand, do it now. Do it as soon as you can, because I can promise you it won't be the last time you'll do it. It's surprising enough. The number of people that will go down to New Zealand and go, oh, my goodness me, I just want to go back and do something else, because there's a lot to see. It'll be one of those places that really does, it'll become your favourite. The same with Australia as well. If you do it properly and do it well, then it'll open the door to wanting to travel again. And that's what I think life's all about, the opportunity to experience and explore. And don't leave it too long, because these places, they're becoming popular and you want to see them as they are now.
That is such our mantra now. Like, don't wait, take the trip.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. We want to thank Jeff Adam with Travel Answers for his great knowledge of the country of New Zealand.
Yay. Woo.
So on behalf of Sandy, George, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.